You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans, the only daily podcast covering your favorite team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and NBA as a whole, available on iTunes and wherever you get your podcasts from. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Excited to be with you all here on this Friday, final day of podcast this week, and the day after the Pelicans, despite being down or allowing Sacramento to put up 70 points in the first half while only scoring, 56 themselves and being down 14 at half, end up with a 114-106 win against the Sacramento Kings in DeMarcus Boogie Cousins' return to his former team in what is an absolutely stunning game, not only from him, but from this Pelicans team. And you've got to give this team a lot of credit. There's some bad. We're going to talk about the bad. Don't think we're just going to ignore that, what the Pelicans did to everybody there in the first half, because that was truly shit, is the only way to put it. I don't even like swearing on here, but that's really the only way to describe it. But you got to give them credit when they do excellent things, and they did some excellent things in the second half. So I'm going to talk about this game, about Boogie's historic night. There's even no context to put it into. It was that good. And then preview quickly this Cavaliers game coming up on Saturday for you all in this edition of Locked On Pelicans. So I want to say before we jump into everything in this game, and there's a good bit to talk about here as I record this at 12:24 a.m. on Friday now, and I'm exhausted. So we're going to see how long I can go for here, but I am beat after watching this game. West Coast games suck, by the way, to watch basically anywhere but the West Coast, because then you stay up, and then I get to record a podcast after, because I still want this to be out at 6 a.m. for you all. But the podcast has migrated hosts from Audio Boom, where it was hosted before, to Megaphone. This doesn't mean much for any of you, so don't really worry about it too much. Right now, the podcast is showing up on iTunes. I know we're having some issues with the Google Play Store. I think Podcast Addict isn't there yet. Stitcher isn't there yet. If you'll listen to the podcast and it's not showing up on your regular feed, message me on Twitter at Nola Jake or at Locked On Pels. You can also email me. It's lockedonpels@gmail.com. I need to kind of do a lot of this manually, and it's a bit of a pain, but I want to make sure we get this all done so that this podcast is showing up daily in your feeds for you. But it is getting there on iTunes. It's always going to be available via direct link, which I tweet out multiple times and spam your timelines daily with, so you can always listen to it there. But if there's other places it's not showing up, let me know and I will work on getting that switched over. In the meantime, I'll probably pin to my Twitter page and the Locked On Pels Twitter page the RSS feed link for Megaphone. It's different now. That's a big thing. So we'll get that straightened out for you guys. So that'll get fixed. So it'll be for you guys wherever you are. So I'm excited about that to make sure it's going on, because the new host platform is pretty great. So let's get to this game, the 114-106 win for the New Orleans Pelicans. And look, let's look at the first half and talk about the bad, because there was definitely a lot, and we need to kind of put this in context to show how remarkable the turnaround was for the Pelicans. So the Pelicans slogged through the first half, scoring 56 points but allowing 70. That comes from two real sources here. The first are turnovers. The Pelicans had 11 turnovers in the first half, basically just kind of getting contributions from everybody. Cousins had two, Moore had three, Holiday had three, Jameer Nelson had two, Tony Allen had one. And basically the Kings went out and ran and were trying to score fast break points, doing different things, and getting out there and scoring that way, and they were. And it buried the Pelicans. Easy offense given to the opposition in the Kings through those turnovers. And that's a problem we've seen all year. When they turn the ball over, the guys aren't in position to get back and run and try and defend it. And also, it's just, frankly, easier to score in transition. 11 turnovers, though, is going to hurt you. While also basically not getting much offense from a ton of people. Drew Holiday was, again, completely invisible in the first half. Notice I say first half and not the game, because that certainly turned around. But he wasn't there. He was playing terrible. And this team didn't really have anything going on, and it took until a 17-4 lead for the Kings for the Pelicans to take their first timeout. And then they subbed in Jameer Nelson. And again, I'm going to talk about all the good in a moment or two here, but my God, does Jameer Nelson make a world of difference for this Pelicans team. It's unbelievable, and it speaks to the larger issues around this organization that a 35-year-old point guard who this isn't a fair characterization, but let's roll with it for a second. A 35-year-old point guard gets signed in off the streets, doesn't go through training camp or preseason the first couple of games with you, and is able to make such immediate impact. It speaks to the larger roster issues, the lack of quality, I guess maybe is the way to put it, from some of the other players on the roster. Those are significant things here that the Pelicans put them in their bind, and they had to be, you know, kind of saved by Jameer the GOAT Nelson. But Jameer Nelson also isn't just like any point guard signed off the street. This dude can still play at a very high level, and we can see that. So it's not like anyone stepping in would have made this type of difference. So again, not quite the fairest analogy. I don't know what you call it there. But look, you know, Jameer Nelson is still so important to this team, and it's unbelievable. And look, the Pelicans are lucky that this was the case, because frankly, without him, they would be winless. They would be 0-5 and definitely not, you know, a good thing here. But, you know, these are the normal issues we expected from this team. Turnovers, particularly with a lack of ball movement leading to bigs and others turning the ball over. Drew Holiday just turned it over because that's something he does a lot of now. And, you know, the Pelicans went with just maybe the most awful starting lineup you could imagine. And Drew Holiday, Etuan Moore, Darius Miller, Dante Cunningham, and DeMarcus Cousins, as I'm sure you all know, and I'm not even needing to mention it in here, but I will now. Anthony Davis was out for the game with the knee injury. He's probably still going to be questionable. Maybe we'll get lucky and see him in uniform against the Cavs. But holy crap, is that a just terrible lineup. Darius Miller ended up playing only 5-6 minutes in the game. He was so ineffective. They had to sub him out right away. Finally put in Jameer Nelson, who needs to be starting. This team got off to, like I said, a 17-4 hole because they just had terrible offense and other things. Jameer Nelson comes in and they start to slice into the lead. Not a ton, but they start to get some back. They need more of that. It's freaking awful that they're not getting enough out of this, the lineup and everything. So you've got to maximize your minutes when you have Cousins on the court, when you have Cousins and Davis on the court. And one of the easiest way to do that is just put freaking Jameer Nelson in there. Simple. Please, more often. But without him, it didn't have a good first half and everything. Like I said, where is it? Here it was. I have all the stats out and they're all over the place. Yeah, it again, 56-72, a bad Kings team, and all these turnovers and everything, 17-4, like I said, allows them just to get easy transition buckets, score different ways. You had, you know, De'Aaron Fox just killing them in transition for a little bit for a period of time. That's not what you can, you know, have in the game. And eventually they started to clamp down after halftime, which we're going to get to in a second here. So I'm going to throw out a different podcast you all should definitely listen to today, and that's going to be the Locked On Bears podcast. I don't think there's a Locked On Saints one right now, and the Saints have this kind of not big matchup coming up. They should beat the Bears, but that Bears team kind of has this weird opportunistic defense. You need to know more about it. Get ready. Get prepared for the game on Sunday in the Dome, and do it by listening to the Locked On Bears podcast. Get that, you know, kind of perspective from the opponent with Locked On Bears. So the second half was completely different for the Pelicans, putting up 58 points compared to 36 for the Kings. We said they had 11 turnovers in the first half, four turnovers in the second half. This allowed those transition scores for the Kings to drop. They didn't get that easy offense, and it led to them having a 17-point third quarter while the Pelicans were able to maximize those possessions, not turn the ball over, keep those possessions, and score 32 themselves in that frame. It's exactly what you want. De'Aaron Fox was less scary when he's not getting out there in transition. He ended up finishing 2 of 7 in the second half. That's the way this team needs to score. Also, the Kings regressed. They shot an insanely high percentage. They shot 57% from the field in the first half. It dropped to 35%, 35.1% in the second half. It's a lot of kind of regression to the mean, which helps in this case, which you have to expect is going to happen. Though there was some bad with it, where the Pelicans still ran a lot of isolation type plays, a lot of lack of ball movement from this offense at times, and more or less they got bailed out by DeMarcus Cousins on a number of occasions. But they also shot 54%, so all of a sudden they got hot when the Kings went cold. You saw things even out a little bit that way. They also got hot because Drew Holiday finally, for the first game probably, his, you know, kind of woke the hell up. And this is a Drew Holiday we haven't seen in a while. He opened the game driving and then dishing to DeMarcus Cousins for an easy dunk. And it was like, oh, where's that Drew been? That was really nice to see. And then, you know, kind of he was just basically vanished the first half. But in the second half, woke up, he shot 4 of 6 from the field, 2 of 3 from deep, scored 14 points at a plus minus of 16. I don't like individual plus minus, but I want to put it out there, along with a couple of other stats. The biggest one that jumps out to you, though, is he got to the frickin' line, which is something you never see from him. So he was being aggressive, driving and trying to score, being opportunistic to it with his threes. Some of those were actually like in rhythm, and he didn't have the kind of that jerky hesitation of, should I shoot it? Should I pass? Should I do something else? He had some confidence going, and that was a big deal. The team needed that. That's why his three looked a whole lot better. This is a guy who's been shooting under 20%. On the season, comes out and shoots 2 for 3 in the second half. I can take that. I can dig that. And he attacked, and he played hard. He wasn't trying to assist and do other things. He was just kind of being Drew, working as the two guard, while letting Jameer Nelson really handle the ball the entire time that they were out on the court together. This is exactly what this dude should be doing. Pelicans have needed something from him like this, because without that, they're going to lose. They would have lost this game. And they needed someone else to kind of carry that load, especially with Anthony Davis out. And with a chunk of his minutes, there weren't a ton of them, briefly towards the end of the third quarter, where he took over for about 2 minutes, was when Cousins was off the court and he was allowed to kind of be the go-to guy. You have to wonder, and this is a thought for a different time, if maybe he should be coming off the bench if he can't coexist with Davis and Cousins and just be allowed to lead that second unit and be the main scorer on there, because that could be a really good way to get some confidence and build, you know, towards something with him. I don't think the team's going to do something like that, but it's something to keep in mind for the future. So let's talk about DeMarcus Cousins and what would eventually be an emotional return for him to Sacramento. And he said all the right things leading up to this in his interview with, I think it was Mark Spears, The Undefeated. He was basically saying like, no, this isn't a big deal for me. Like, I'm past it. I'm over all of it. But then in the post-game interview, admitted to saying anyone who knew him knew he was in extremely, extremely nervous. And I think it's fair. I think you want to get this win. And man, did he have a game. Like, this is his stat line's pretty nuts here. Let me pull it up, because all of a sudden I don't have it memorized yet. Don't have it off the top of my head. 41 points, 23 rebounds, 6 assists. 41 points, 23 rebounds, 6 assists. You guys know this. You watched the game. And as I'm looking at this, I see first player with 40-plus points, 20-plus rebounds, and 6-plus assists on 50% shooting since Bob McAdoo back in January of 1976. I think they said he's the only guy with 40-plus points, 23 rebounds, or something in a big game, as these tabs. ESPN is the worst with tabs auto-playing music. They said he had done something for the first time since Chris Webber had done it. Basically, there's a bunch of things to compare this to. And it's unbelievable, you know, that he was able to come out and do this. And he carried the team. This dude also did it playing 44 minutes out of the 48 in the game. With Davis out, you can almost not sit Cousins. Got 2 minutes here, got 2 minutes in the second half. That's it. Dude went 14 to 25, was 3 of 5 from deep. He didn't take too many threes, which is good. We're going to have to talk about him in threes another day, if you guys know the Alvin Gentry quote that I want to talk about. and was at, but he was, this dude was just unbelievable. You cannot say enough good things about him. And Alvin Gentry said it after the game that Cousins carried them. He did everything. He's the reason they won. And there's no doubt about that. We've seen him in back-to-back games now come up huge for the Pelicans in Anthony Davis' absence. Exactly what you want to see out of this guy. There are some issues there. Fouling on defense, he didn't look checked in mentally, defensively in the first, you know, half of everything, but got woke in the second half and just did it all. He was driving, he was dishing, he was shooting, you know, jumpers. Like it's almost tough to describe this. He was that good in the game on the night for the Pelicans. So before I get to some other things with the game here, I want to talk about shot selection, shot chart for you all to take a look at. Give you guys some homework here with Locked On Pelicans. And just touch on the Cavs game. It's getting late. I'm exhausted. I do want to mention we do have the website lockedonpelicans.com. Our writers are making debuts on there this week. You'll see more of them next week. I am so proud of these guys and their things they are writing about. Roy Calais the other day had one about DeMarcus Cousins getting in foul trouble and potentially having to sit at times late in games when they need his scoring out there because lineups without Cousins are not good, hence why he played 44 or 48 minutes. But he got five fouls late in this game. It was kind of nervous that if he were to foul out, that's going to be a huge blow for the Pelicans. Obviously, they probably would have lost. He didn't. But go check out the website. We'll have a group question up there every Friday, kind of just talking about different things we see. So make sure you've bookmarked and are checking lockedonpelicans.com daily. Shot selection was pretty excellent for the Pelicans on the night. If you take a look at their shot charts, that are out there. They did a good job. In the third quarter, they did not miss a shot in the paint. They had every make, which was what you exactly want to see. They had limited mid-range shots. So despite things not going well in the first half, there was some semblance, at least when it comes to shot selection, of good offense. Defense, I don't know what it's going to take to slow down this transition stuff that's plaguing the Pelicans. Maybe cutting down on the turnovers, but when the offense kind of starts to stop and there's no ball movement, that's when you see these turnovers happen. And then guys, I don't know, it's just a mess all around. That's going to be a topic for another day. But shot selection was good. DeMarcus Cousins, I think, had one or two mid-range attempts, and that's it. It was either three-pointers or in the paint. He's either shooting threes or driving, which you've got to be pretty happy about with him. I don't hate five threes a game from him, to be honest. I don't know about 12, Alvin Gentry, but five's not bad. I think that's going to be a good thing, and certainly they needed anything he could do tonight to get this win. So the Cavs game coming up this Saturday, we don't know the status of Anthony Davis yet. We probably likely won't know until game time. But this is going to be an interesting game. The Pels, you know, have not done well against good teams. They've lost to all likely playoff teams this season while winning games they should win, though you would have liked really for them to have grabbed one against Memphis or Portland. But the Pelicans' issues where those are in those turnovers, transition points, and things like that, you know, while the Cavs are good at some of that, scored in transition with LeBron's always going to be a thing, they don't force too many turnovers. You know, opponents are doing okay against them when it comes to turnovers. They don't force a lot of steals. They're not going to get you other ways. And opponents are averaging just about 13 turnovers a game against them. Basically, that's like what the Pels had in the first half this game. So if they can eliminate that and not turn the ball over, I kind of feel confident. This is a weird Cavs team. They're 3-2 right now. And, you know, they're missing Wade, Thomas, and Derrick Rose. And they're not playing well. They've had kind of have this weird blowout loss to Orlando. And then, you know, a loss to the Nets the other night, which is weird. The Orlando loss was a home game for them, too, where they lost by 11. So it's tough to make sense of this team right now and what they're doing. But, of course, LeBron is LeBron, and the Pels don't have really anyone that's going to cover him. But when you look at the rest of this, they might actually have kind of the advantage here other than the wing positions. The front court's better. You know, you've got Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love. Pels can handle them, even though they're pretty good. The backcourt, if Holiday plays like Holiday should be playing, we're set there, especially with Jameer Nelson to settle them down. And then you just got to not get beat by LeBron. That's going to be the biggest thing. But LeBron has big games against New Orleans, and I've seen them all, before. And, God, you guys remember we hit all of those threes in the first half, then comes down the court, like, waving his arms, flapping, and everyone just went for it. It was unbelievable. Look, don't turn the ball over. Don't, limit the transition score. And if LeBron beats you in the half court, then so be it. He's that good that there's not much you're going to be able to do. But I think you can kind of get away with that. And maybe live with it. I think that's what the Pelicans will be happy to do. We'll see if it happens. I don't like doing predictions, things like that. Another thing to note, though, Pelicans need to be good on the defensive glass. They were against the Sacramento Kings, but Cleveland's a pretty good offensive rebounding team. That can be scary. You need to kind of clamp that down because it's not going to work otherwise. So if they can keep Cleveland off the offensive glass, make him beat you in the half court and then miss a shot, hopefully the Pels can maybe win this game. And they weirdly have good games against the Cavs. So that's going to do it for this edition of Locked On Pelicans. No more podcasts the rest of the week. It is Friday after all, so the next one will be on Monday. Like I said in the intro, if there are any issues getting the podcast on your feeds, I'll have the new updated RSS feed for you all where you can kind of plug it into different things and get them that way. And also just let me know and I'll try and get a lot of those things updated for us as well, because that's certainly where we want to make the podcast as available to you all as possible. So great win for the Pelicans last night after a ton of bad from them, which is not what I want to see, but at least you get the win and that's the biggest thing. Finally, Holiday ends up with a good game. Props to Boogie for his absolutely monster performance, and we'll see how this team does against the Cavaliers, because that's going to be a good test and certainly not easy. So thank you all for listening. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter, and I'll be back with you all next time.